far from my face from now on. Does it sound nasal? Yes, because it's up my nose.
It's 0% far from your face.
Up my nose.
Does that make you feel better?
About not having it too far from my face? Yeah.
I just feel like you are an intelligent man who has the capacity to understand like the optimal distance. And you have a good sense of proprioception, so you know how far the mic is from your face.
Why? What in my life makes you think I have a good sense of proprioception? Just as an aside.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, I bang into shit all the time. I run over dogs.
What's that bruise under your elbow? Do you know you have a giant bruise under your elbow on that side? Like no. A big...
Where? Like, I can't see it.
Raise your arm up.
Yeah,
right.
Here?
Yeah. It's huge. It's like the size of a baseball. Yeah.
What? No. Is it a bug bite?
It's like that big around. It's a big dark bruise.
What?
Like somebody punched you on your elbow.
I guarantee you nobody punched me. I could have bumped into the railing or something. No. Huh? I don't remember... I mean...
Your mic's too far from your mouth.
We've been... I mean, we bang into shit all the time. I don't remember a specific time. This could just be a... Yeah, I didn't like... I don't remember like falling or anything. It was on my stupid knee.
Are you ready?
Yes. Fine.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Golden Ratio Podcast. I am Jen, GR Mom, joined as always by GR Dad.
Hey, yo, what? Hi.
How's it going, GR Dad?
Should I be paying closer attention or should I just be up out
Absolutely.
In space?
Absolutely. You do whatever you want. This can be a no rules if you
want. Nah, I can't go that far.
Okay.
Got to keep the pants on, Jen.
The pants are on. Can confirm.
Then it has rules. Then okay. Rules.
Oh, is that how it works?
Well, that's one of the things.
We got a neighbor update for the Patreons after this. Are you going to take the pants off for that no rules pod?
Look, I have mysteries and secrets.
Yes, you do.
And pants.
I think everybody should have mysteries and secrets. I like that you've got some. I don't want to know everything about you. I want you to have some mystery.
Yeah, I've also had some Jägermeister shots.
Oh, is that like how many?
Two. I'm trying to empty that bottle in the freezer.
Where didn't we decide you were just going to put some from the big bottle into the little bottle?
That's after I empty. Oh.
But you don't actually need to empty the little one.
Oh.
I didn't know you were doing Jäger shots before.
You need to be more specific about your suggestions to how to do this. I bought a big bottle of Jägermeister, and I have an almost empty little bottle of Jägermeister.
Like regular size bottle.
Yeah. And the big one probably won't fit in the freezer where I like to keep them because the door won't close.
Of course, it's cold. It's German.
It's
German. Gotta keep that Jäger in the freezer.
Frozen.
We got like four bottles of liquor in the freezer.
Frozen. We have two. And I keep a careful eye on all of
them. Wait, is there no aquavit in the freezer?
No, it's in my belly.
Oh, should I get another bottle?
That was months ago. Those were different days, times, years.
See, I don't think I've ever seen you drink the aquavit. But I now on reflection, I guess it is gone.
It's a shot.
It's many shots in a bottle, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it took months.
Yeah.
Ish.
Weeks.
This is my theory is when I have like a bratwurst, as I did tonight, and I feel all greasy.
You had a bratwurst tonight?
Yeah, it was in the microwave.
Wait a minute.
Because it's pre-cooked.
I made dinner.
Yeah.
I made pisto manchego for dinner.
It was delicious. Thank you.
But you had a bratwurst later? You nuked yourself a bratwurst?
Just now. That's what I was giving Vink. Some bratwurst. Oh. I shared it with all the dogs. They all love me more now.
Well, I believe that's true.
I smell more greasy and delicious to them, which increases their love. But I also gave them little slices and had greasy fingers. And then I had Jägermeister.
All right. Hang on. I got to get some fluff away from Zola. Okay. Now I'm back. Inga was talking to all of you guys while I had the podcast recording paused. So...
It was recording gold, but now it's gone in the It just ephemerally disappeared.
You know, there's something Poof. Nice about ephemeralness. Ephemerality.
You just don't like what I say.
Ephemerality. I mean, that's maybe one of the nice things about it. The cocktail of the week this week, we were looking, I wanted a chartreuse cocktail tonight. And so I was looking at my Pinterest cocktail to make library. And I found the Fox Mulder, which is rye whiskey and chartreuse and I think lemon juice and pineapple juice. And I was like, oh, that's good. Love Mulder. And I was like, I feel like we've done this before. And I went and we used it in 2022. And so...
Do you think there's a Scully cocktail?
The cocktail of the week this week is the Agent Scully cocktail.
Nice.
Which we did not make tonight. I don't actually think I would like
it. I walked right into that one.
Ka-tunk. I would like it. Bonk. Because I also like Agent Scully.
Doesn't everyone?
I mean, I think so. There's a whole generation of Dana Scully bisexuals out there.
I know. Men want to be with her and women want to also be with her.
Yeah. Thank you, Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
The Agent Scully cocktail is mint, lemon juice, simple syrup and rum, and you're going like, oh, Jen, it's kind of like a daiquiri, which it is. But you muddle in 3 raspberries, and then you also add in 1/2 ounce of raspberry liqueur. So it's like a raspberry daiquiri?
Exactly three. The number shall be 3.
The recipe says 3
only count
raspberries.
To only count to 2 if you're then counting to 3. Do not stop at 2.
And do not never proceed to 4.
Never proceed to 4.
And then you top it off with a splash of cranberry juice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cranberry, raspberry. I mean, it's a great, it tastes very good. It has a really good chartreuse flavor.
No, no. We're not drinking this cocktail.
Oh, what are we drinking?
We're drinking the Après-Ski Swizzle.
Oh my God. You're killing me.
Which has no raspberries in it at all.
Golbeck, I feel tricked.
I think you maybe had 3 shots of Jägermeister before the cocktail.
It was 2.5. I think, no, there's still some left in the bottle. I think I had 2. I think I had 2. Anywho.
Anyway, so
you got to make that other one, except it requires you to like squeeze drops out of raspberries and like cut
you
things in half.
You just muddle the whole raspberries.
Cut things in half.
I'll put raspberries. We don't have any raspberry liqueur. Which I think is Chambord.
Nobody does.
No, like, we need to have a bottle of Chambord. There's a lot of cocktails. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. There's a lot of cocktails that use that, and we don't have it. Raspberry liqueur. So,
sounds Alsatian, and I'm against it.
All right, now I got to look it up.
I bet it's from Alsace.
All right, Chambord liqueur is a raspberry liqueur. It is produced in the Loire Valley of France.
Ah, I was wrong.
Okay, so it looks like a kind of like a hand grenade.
Oh yeah!
All right,
it's a ball,
a sphery bottle. So you have to go to the Publix liquor store and get a bottle of Chambord, and I will put raspberries in the next Instacart, and I will make this for us.
Can we buy another Powerball lottery ticket to not win $1.3 billion?
No, buy one that will win this time.
I think I'm gonna buy another loser.
I mean,
I'm very good at buying loser tickets.
Actually, I mean, we've won like $4 on each of the ones you bought.
We spend more than that, and then we get $4 back. It's like just that. Yeah. That's just like the addiction tax. That just keeps you in the game.
That's true.
Coming back to the place where you ruined your life to get your $4 back. Scrape your $4 back.
Well,
I'm
anyway.
Sorry, reinvest your $4.
That's right.
So bad.
The drink we're actually drinking tonight is not the cocktail of the week. It is the Après-Ski Swizzle, which was the cocktail of the week before. And it is rum and pineapple juice and green chartreuse. And
it is chartreuse.
It's chartreuse in this.
I think chartreuse probably is a good, like, magic witchcraft.
I think it's magic,
liqueur.
Too.
I think this would be excellent for spells and potions.
We should do that. Like, we should start.
You took a whole class on this, so I'm totally in with you being an expert on potions and magic.
So this actually transitioned us nicely to Administrative Corner.
I knew that.
It's time for Administrative Corner.
I mean, something in me knew that. I did. I mean, you know, I'm an onion.
So I took the ghost class at Harvard last summer.
So good.
Best class I've ever taken.
So ghosty.
So ghosty. And in the ghost class, I learned many things. So I have two things to say here in this administrative corner item.
I love administrative corner, and I love when you have things to say about ghosts in administrative corner.
Right?
Unbelievable.
Yes.
The Banner Podcast. Can you put on the title Banner Podcast, says Ingo?
Sure. We'll title this podcast Banner Podcast.
Banner Podcast. If you listen to one podcast this year, this is going to be it.
I like it.
I don't think I can recreate this level of excitement.
Wow.
Any other week. That's all I'm saying.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I took the ghost class at Harvard.
You learned only two things, or you learned two things and then many other things?
I learned a zillion things. There's just two items that I would like to talk about on administrative corner
today. I think that's
great.
I think this is all very good.
Yes. So, number one is I did a project. My final project for the class was about people's supernatural experiences with the ghosts of their dogs who have died. I posted about this on the socials, and lots of you responded and gave me stories, and that was my final project. But there were so many stories that I was like, I could totally write a paper about this. And so I wrote an academic article that was published this week.
Science.
Yeah, in the journal AnthroZoos, which is like one of my favorite journals, and it's about the human-animal bond. Is something going on? Oh, Zola is eating fluff. All right, we'll be back. So hang on. We're back. Okay, so I do my final paper for ghost class, and then I'm like, I can publish a paper on this. So I wrote a paper that just got published this week, and it is about supernatural experiences with dogs and disenfranchised grief, which is what you have when your dog dies because society doesn't like allow you to mourn your dog in the right way. I tweeted about it today on my professional account and on the Golden Ratio account, and the journal thinks that like people are going to be excited, so they made it open access so like anybody can read the paper instead of like paying the stupid fees that they always want you to pay. So it's super nice because it's all stories that like you guys shared and that I thought were just going to be for this class project, and then I ended up being able to do this research project. And a guy from Psychology Today who has written a really good book about dogs, he did a blog post about it, and he called it like the first comprehensive study of supernatural experiences with pets and grief.
Unbelievable.
Nobody's looked at it before.
Again, you've contributed to the advancement of knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my job, right? So it's like, it's much easier for me than like an average student to take a final project and turn it into a publishable paper.
Don't eat Quark's blow high. Fed up.
Should I remove the blow high from danger?
Fed up.
Can you just like grab the tail?
Feta doesn't listen.
Oh, no, they're chomping each other now. Okay, good. So anyway, thank you guys for that. If you search, you know, either of me or the Golden Ratio on Twitter, if you're like an Instagram person, you'll find a link to it. And pretty exciting.
If you search Jen on Google Scholar, your computer will explode or overheat with all the hits.
Google Scholar is a great site, and it's got everything I have ever done.
I just want to say for the record,
yeah,
I'm lucky to be married to such a smart woman.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, because it means I can be dumb and get away with it.
But like, you're not. You know, so
I can skate by a lot because you fix the holes that I leave.
I get great enjoyment out of fixing holes, and so it all kind of works out.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm not arguing. I'm amplifying this.
And I'm very lucky to be married to you because I take off for like big periods of time, and I could not have all these dogs if I were doing it all on my own, and you take such good care of them and keep everything running while I'm out doing crazy stuff.
Well, that's nice. I work to turn them against you. It just doesn't work.
They do all like you better though, except for Zola, who I think maybe at least loves me the same.
Well, she's not as meat focused yet.
That will change though, probably.
You know, I can work on her. She had some bratwurst tonight and her eyes got all big.
That's probably the first meat she's ever eaten, other than like dog
not
snacks.
Not around me, it isn't. I mean, I've given her turkey before, right? The slices of turkey. Meat carrots, as we call them.
Meat carrots.
It's in the name.
Yeah. All right, so thing number one was I published that paper, but thing number two from Ghost Class is just sort of like a little memory. which is like when I was like 10 or something, we had rented Ghostbusters like from the video store.
So good.
Yep. As we all know, a movie that has a great impact on my life. And I remember, I have such a clear memory of like being in the backyard of my house and telling my mom I wanted to be a parapsychologist.
Oh,
which is
like
what Peter
Venkman
was in the movie.
But he's bad at it.
And my mom being like, no, you're not going to be a parapsychologist. We're not sending you to college to be a parapsychologist.
Mom!
Which is like actually eminently reasonable. Except now I've published a paper about ghosts. And so
your life,
I think I am a parapsychologist
coming
now.
Coming full circle. You're just much better at it than Peter Venkman.
He was a poor scientist for sure.
It's canon.
You're a poor scientist.
It's canon that he was a poor scientist.
I think he
was just hitting on the ladies in his research.
That was incredibly inappropriate the way he ran that study. Both scientifically and ethically.
The movie is dated in some respects.
But I texted my mom this morning and I was like, Mom, I don't know if you remember me being 10 and telling you I wanted to be a parapsychologist and you telling me no, which was actually a reasonable response, except this paper is published today. And so now I think I am a parapsychologist. And she's like, technically, I think you are. And I was like, okay.
She's like, you can be a Paralympian too if you want.
And I tweeted this story today and a couple people responded, Jen always wins. Which I do.
If you wait long enough.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a parapsychologist now.
You're a Ghostbuster.
I mean, it could be,
I guess. By extension, you are then a Ghostbuster.
I guess. I mean, if I am Peter Venkman version 2, V2.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. If there were an opening, you'd be applying.
But I had emailed, I think, you know, a lot of people are going to respond to this paper. So I emailed the university communications office, which is like the university that puts, part of the university that puts out like the press releases about faculty research.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, I wrote this paper about ghost dogs and like literally like did an interview with one of the comms people today. So it'll be interesting to see like what kind of media pickup we get on the ghost dog paper, which is like not my regular thing, right? I started a Substack this week called the Mega Report, which is like, you know, I wrote a whole like deep dive on QAnon conspiracy theories today. Like that's my regular stuff that I spend like hours a day on. But like the ghost dogs, I bet is going to get more attention.
Yeah.
It's more fun. Nobody wants dystopia.
Your life is like whack-a-mole without the whacking. The moles just all pop out of the holes and they're just like, hey, hey. I'm gonna be like this now. I'm gonna do this. There's no whacking. They just all pop out.
And I'm like, hello moles, I'm here for all of you.
No, you are making all the little moles pop up.
I have a very big life.
They're all making moles.
I think I told you this week that I think I finally realized that my sweet spot for life is when I'm in the slightly overwhelmed stage.
Mm-hmm. It's such a fine line between slightly overwhelmed and totally underwater.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. But I'm doing okay. I turned in my final project for my Harvard master's degree today. So I'm going to graduate in May.
Nice.
And yeah.
Didn't you turn it in early?
I uploaded it Monday. It's due today. I turned it in Monday, but like it's you know, Canvas, anybody who's been in college recently knows that. And so you can like update it. So I made some tweaks, you know, fixed typos and phrasings and uploaded a new one tonight.
I don't know who you are with this early bullshit.
This is how I always am. It's funny. I have a PhD student. I have a great PhD student. And there's a conference that we're sending a couple papers to. And so she uploaded one and I uploaded one this week. The deadline is April 15th. And she's like, is this a popular conference? Because our submissions are number 9 and 10. And I'm like, yeah, everybody submits their papers on the last day. Like there's going to be like 400 submissions to this conference. Nobody submits it a week early. And she's like, oh, I don't work like that. I'm like, I also don't work like that, which is why we work well together.
I only work to deadline because the deadline might move or something else might happen or the whole thing might go away.
All these things happen. Yeah.
Yeah,
because then you don't have to worry. You work ahead because then you don't have to worry about it.
Seems like you might be working that you don't have to. You might be doing work you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of true.
So don't do it. See,
Okay.
Don't do anything for the man that you don't need to. you don't work for the man, but you know, some of us work for the man.
Yeah, I don't work for the man. That's true. Okay, I do have one other item for Administrative Corner.
This is a banner day.
I know.
A banner podcast.
I forgot that I even had this, but I do. This was sent to us by a friend of the squad, Lauren, and it is a fish story. And you know we love fish stories in
That's
Administrative
right.
Corner.
We've put them in Administrative Corner because they're fun.
Yep. This headline is from this week. This happened on April 2nd. Fish tanker truck accident results in loss of some spring Chinook smolts.
This is a great story.
Which is not a great headline for the actual story.
No, the headline... Let's emphasize again that the reporter never writes the headline.
Also, this story
is crap.
Is on dfw.state.or.us.
What
like the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Oregon posted this.
God, you guys are much better at giving out licenses than writing headlines.
They need some journalists in their PR department.
Oh my goodness.
La Grande, Oregon, on March 29th, near Looking Glass Hatchery.
I bet it's pronounced like La Grande.
Okay, to like not to be like super academic, but I read this really interesting study about like small towns that have like non-traditional pronunciations. We have a bunch of these in Illinois. There's like a Cairo.
Every state has this.
Every state has them. And how so there's like a Cairo, Illinois. It's spelled like Cairo, Egypt. In fact, there's a whole section of Illinois called like Little Egypt.
Mm.
There's all these sort of Middle Eastern town names.
But it's like Cairo syrup instead of Cairo, Egypt. Cairo,
like C-A-Y, Cairo.
That's how it's pronounced.
It's pronounced. It's interesting. It's in The Fugitive, and they pronounce it correctly in The Fugitive.
Cairo, really?
Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
But all these little towns that have, you know, names of other places, but they pronounce them differently. Part of it is like a gatekeeping thing, so you know who's from the area and who isn't.
There's a place in Kentucky called Versailles, but it's pronounced Versailles.
Versailles. And so you know when you got an outsider there, if they call it Versailles, right?
Totally.
And so it was it's like years ago that I read this paper. It's really interesting about how it's like, you know, actually a kind
on
of
purpose.
Mechanism. Yeah, that that you can tell. So anybody from Oregon can correct me on this. We did have like a weird, you know, Wisconsin pronunciation recently, and a bunch of Wisconsinites corrected me.
Corrected you?
Yeah. I asked. I'm like, I have no idea how to pronounce this because it was like a kind of Native American.
Because you've been correct on some. I mean, your instincts
are pretty
good. I
know most of the
good.
Wisconsin towns, right? Yeah, I've just heard them before, but this one I hadn't. And some Wisconsinites told me the correct pronunciation, which I asked for, which was great. So if you're from Oregon and it's not La Grande, let me know.
Or La Grande.
Or La Grande. Actually, I want to know if it's La Grande, so please tweet at me. On March 29th, near Looking Glass, that's one word, Looking Glass Hatchery in Northeast Oregon, a fish tanker truck was involved in an accident while transporting approximately 102,000 spring Chinook smolts for release in the Imnaha River.
Baby salmons.
The ODFW employee who is driving the truck is safe but received minor injuries.
Not a baby salmon.
No. The accident occurred on a sharp corner with the 53-foot truck rolling onto the passenger side, skidding on its side in the pavement, and then going over a rocky embankment, causing it to roll onto its roof.
Sounds like you were going a little too fast there, Zippy.
It is for that sharp corner.
Maybe you should slow down next time.
The accident occurred alongside Looking Glass Creek, a tributary of the Grand Grand Ronde River. About 77,000 smolts made it into the creek when the tanker overturned.
Good job, baby salmon. Flopped and flipped their way.
You got a truck full of live fish, and it hasn't said it
baby
here yet.
Fish.
They may get to it. They've kind of buried the lead. So these fish were going to be released into the Imnaha River. That they were they weren't dead fish for eating. They were live fish.
Squirmy little wriggly guys.
To be put into the river to stock the river. And the truck crashes, and the smolts fall out of the truck into a tributary of the river that they were headed for anyway.
Which is lucky, because they could have just been smoosh.
They could have just been dried up on the side of the road.
Yeah, it could have been 100,000 dead baby salmon. Instead, it's like, yeah, maybe 30,000 didn't make it. But
well, I will tell you.
How do they count all these anyway? Do they have them count off? Like
25
salmon number...
25,529 smolts died.
How, what now? 20, down to the 29?
25,529 smolts died.
Come on.
And their carcasses were recovered either in the tanker or on the stream bank.
They're counting 25,000 salmon?
No, 25,529. They counted them down to the individual smolt.
How many seconds?
Zola.
How many minutes? How many hours is that?
525,600 minutes.
Is in a year. Is in a year. How many seconds? How many hours is 25,000 blah, 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 blah?
25,529 minutes?
No, seconds. If you count one salmon a second.
Oh.
How long is it going to take you to count to 25,000 blah, blah,
blah? It is 425 minutes.
Oh.
Or 7.1 hours.
So it took them 7 hours to count all these little salmon gloops.
You know, if you have multiple people, you're doing it in parallel, so it could have been faster.
All right. Well, I'm impressed, Oregon wildlife people. But mm-hmm. also, maybe you didn't need to count them all into the individual.
25,529 dead smolts.
All right. I mean, as a German, I think this is excellent.
Looking Glass Hatchery raises spring Chinook as part of a hydropower mitigation under the Lower Snake River Compensation Plan for tribal and sport harvest and to supplement the wild population on the Imnaha River, which is listed as threatened.
Good job. 77,000.
77,000 smolts made it into the creek.
New salmon has got to be a good thing.
ODFW notified fishery co-managers, the Nez Perce Tribe, NPT, and the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong. When the incident occurred, staff responded and provided additional assistance, helping to collect, count, and scan dead fish for PIT, passive integrated transponder tags.
Everyone has acronyms.
Information collected from the PIT tags, including those that weren't released, will help ensure the best possible estimates of survival for future adult return. So I guess they chipped all these little smolts.
I love that there are people whose expertise is deep, albeit narrow, in these fields. Like, there is someone who's been studying salmon smolts for their entire career, and they're like super excited about this PIT technology.
Yeah.
and all this. I think this is great.
It's so interesting. Like, you don't ever think about this stuff, but like the tracking technology they have. We listened to that podcast about the almond heist.
Yes.
Did you listen to that? So there's a podcast about like these truckloads of almonds from California that were stolen, and it's actually like a really deep dive into kind of like the food chain and the food supply and labor conditions around it and all of this stuff. And they now have a technology, and I may slightly misstate this, where they like spray. So if you've got like a truckload of almonds that's going to a port, they spray the almonds with water, but there's like some code in the water that you can like scan.
Whoa.
And identify that the almonds in the truck are like the actual almonds, that they're not, that they're supposed to be, and not like hijacked or counterfeit almonds.
Is it on the blockchain? It might be on the blockchain.
It absolutely feels like a thing that would be on the blockchain.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, these smolts were tagged. The smolts lost represent about 20% of the total that would be released in the Imnaha River this year.
We can do the math, dopeies. It's 100,000 and 20,000.
Fishery managers expect to see 500 to 900 fewer adult fish returning in 2026 and 2027 due to the loss. The 77,000 fish that made it into Looking Glass Creek will likely return there to produce approximately 350 to 700 additional adults.
Well, I think this is good. It's bad that the truck driver was drunk and speeding.
Nah,
and
you don't libel
control.
The truck. Don't libel the truck driver.
All right, the truck driver lost 100,000 salmon babies on the side of the
102,000.
Yes, truck driver, that's not the best.
But they did largely end up in the place that they were intended to go.
That's just lucky. That doesn't mean that was a good driving.
Listen, we'll have no libel.
If I happen to overturn a school bus and three of the kids end up like sliding into under the Yale campus and get accepted. I don't think that's a success.
That's funny though.
Good job. You know, the three kids got to Yale. You flipped the school bus.
That's like when cows like are headed for the slaughterhouse and like a cow escapes, they're like, all right, I mean, you earned it. Like you don't have to go to the slaughterhouse.
Is this really, I hope this is the rule.
That, I mean, it has happened for sure.
I want all cowboys to obey this rule.
Like the cow gets away on the way to the slaughterhouse. The cow gets to be free.
Cows with guns.
And it goes. Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing.
Cow gets to be free. That's good. You should earn your freedom that way.
Yep. Oh, you just made a face. Oh, it's because Remy and Feta are up here like side by side, like parallel on the couch sleeping.
Yeah. They're one massive brown.
Yeah. Okay. It's time for dog updates.
I'm in.
Zola today. So we have a guava tree out in the yard. And guavas are interesting, weird fruits.
We didn't much know about guavas except we got the guava tree at Home Depot.
Here's my background from guava is my mom at some point when I was growing up told me that she liked guava jelly or guava jam, which I think she'd maybe had like once in Hawaii when she was growing up. And that is a thing that stuck in my brain. And I've also had guava juice. Which was like
guava
fine
juice
and tasty.
is a big thing, I think.
And one of our neighbors, the guy who flies the Trauma Star helicopter, he's like, "That's really easy to grow guavas here." And I was like, "Fuck it, I'm growing them then." And he was absolutely correct. That tree is wild.
Of all our citrus trees, that's the one that's actually growing well. The
key lime.
Key
is
lime also is local and doing well, but the guava is just irrepressible.
Yeah. So we have a ton of guavas on the tree, and they're starting to ripen. So we've brought two in the house.
They're pear size. They're giant.
They are the size of pears.
That is big guava.
Like
baby
pears are traditionally like grainy, but if you remove the graininess, that's kind of the texture of a guava. It's got a skin like a pear,
and you put in really hard, unchewable nuts that break your teeth.
It's got little seeds on the inside.
All right, seeds that break your teeth.
Yeah, you're not supposed to eat the seeds. I don't.
Well, how can you not?
I think you scoop those out or like skip the core.
Feh. There's no. They're all over. They're evenly distributed.
Mm. Anyway, so we've got guavas now, and when I took Zola out this morning, there was a guava that was ripe and had fallen off the tree.
Asterix, Zola now has an accent somewhere in her name.
Zola. I say, hola, Zola. Hola, Zola.
Which is popular around here.
Some neighbors came over and I was like, yeah, this is Zola. And they're like, oh, you have to say it like that? And I was like, yes, I do.
I do now.
Leave me alone. Hola, Zola. So I took Zola out and she was looking at this guava on the ground and she's like, I'm going to fight it. And she like pounce at it and like toss her little head back.
She has such a funny angry face because it's very angry, but she's also so small and not threatening.
She does head tosses just like Hops does.
I know when Hops was being huffy.
Yeah. So she tossed her head and put her little claws and like little chomps into this guava and eventually started being able to taste the guava because she punctured the skin, right? Every little thing punctured
the skin. It's a very thin skin. I mean, it's like a pear.
It is like a pear.
It's like a pear. You can eat the whole thing.
It's pink on the inside. So it's green on the outside like a pear, but it's bright pink on the inside. And then she's like, oh, interesting. And she'd like lick it. And it's like, I'm not sure. But then she ate the entire guava over
Which
the course of like 15 minutes.
Her like that's big for her.
It's like the size of her schnoop.
It's like a portion of her body weight.
Yeah.
A significant portion of her body
weight.
She
does not seem to have had any ill effects. It is fine for dogs generally to eat guavas.
I don't know. She seems a little dopey today. Oh, no. She's dopey all the time.
Mm. I mean, she's a tiny puppy.
She's got way too much energy.
I love that dog so much.
She and Feta are completely aligned in their nuttiness. It's great. It's very good to have them constantly rolling around together on their backs, kind of growling into the air at each other. It's very cute.
A lot of heavy breathing on each other.
Very cute. And making growly faces at each other.
So she's doing great. She's not housebroken yet, but we're making progress.
She's not housebroken yet.
Mm-hmm. We're making progress.
She is. There are, I think, I thought she turned the corner a week ago, but I was wrong. I was wetly wrong.
Well,
but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I was optimistic, but she is getting much better. It's just that she's, you know, distracted.
Yeah. Guac is fine. Brody is fine.
Guac's ear is better.
Oh, that's true.
Deflated.
Guac has had this hematoma on his ear, and they're like, well, since it's not the whole ear flap, it will eventually get better. And it seemed like that wouldn't be true, but it is now, like, mostly better.
Yeah, he can shake his head after swimming, and the ear doesn't inflate like a little tiny water balloon.
You did a good job, like, not letting him swim for a little while to give it a break.
It was not easy emotionally for me.
Yeah, but he's better now.
When he suffers, I suffer.
He really does think he suffers, too.
That guy's got sad eyes, man. You got sad eyes, Guac.
So, yes, that's good. Guac is better. Brody, the same. Remy, the same. Feta, the same. Right? No updates on them.
Correct.
Which
is good. They're all doing fine.
So, Vink, I'll let you do most of this update, but I'll say last week she got a dose of the medicine that was the same one that she started with, and it did shrink her lymph nodes back down. They're not gone like they were the first time, but they're way smaller, which is great. She's on prednisone, which means she's hungrier than normal, and she also gets up like multiple times a night because she has to go out. And so
We've
been kind of trading off. I never notice when you get up. I don't know if you notice when I get up.
Nah. Because if we notice, we do it. Like, it's really the first up gets it.
Yeah, whichever of us notices so first usually, gets up so we can let the other one sleep.
Usually if that happens, the other one doesn't have to get, doesn't wake up. Right?
Yeah, yeah. But it must be a lot because I got up three times last night and I think you got up two or three.
I think once or twice we've met each other.
we did. It's so hard to tell because it is like absolutely the middle of the night and we're both
like,
three quarters asleep.
Oh, you got Brody? I got
Vink. I think last night.
Like you were like, coming out of the elevator or something.
I was like, oh, okay.
It's like having three or four kids in diapers
at
some point where you're just like, if I let them... This is bad because the consequences are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to get better later.
Yeah. She has to go to the bathroom a lot, but she's doing fine.
Bonk.
And then you took her to the oncologist today.
Yeah, just Vink and me.
I know. Normally you take other dogs with you, but I am here and I will be here next Wednesday too.
Nice.
I think I'll be here for like all the remaining Wednesdays.
Cray, cray.
For a long time. Sometimes just Wednesday. Hey. I like get back here on Tuesday and then I leave again on Thursday.
Because you know it's Monday.
What?
Patriots Day. You know what's on Patriots Day?
What?
The Boston freaking Marathon.
The Boston Marathon is on Monday.
Guess who's running in the Boston Marathon?
Ooh, I know. Me.
Is it you?
It's me.
Yeah. This thing snuck up on me. I thought this was like way away, but it's here.
It is. It's going to be a beautiful day, too. It's going to be sunny and like 67.
Donkulous.
It's going to be great. I'm very excited.
It's absurd that you're running again.
It
is
not
going to
be fast.
Is it your third? It's your third.
It's my third.
Amazing.
I was supposed to run it in 2020, and it got COVID canceled like three times. So I ran it it's normally a spring race like
it
is now.
Yeah, it got postponed to the fall. Yeah.
It got postponed to the fall and then the spring of 21 and then the fall of 21. So the race I was supposed to run in April of 2020, I ran in October of 2021. And then I ran in spring of 22 and then I skipped it last year and I had major FOMO. And so I'm running it again this year.
It's going to be cool.
It's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Yep.
Anyway, you took Vink to the oncologist today. So she got some regular chemo and some blood work and I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you not remember?
No, it's fine. She always comes there. She jumps on a chair. She likes to jump on a chair and then she like wobbles because it's a very wobbly chair. So they do a blood test for her and as usual, every time, every week they've done a blood test and every week they say, she's a little anemic.
Every week.
And they go, she's probably just like that. And at this point, yes. But this time she was a little bit more anemic than usual. And so they think it might be the serious chemo drug that they gave her last week might have affected her liver function a little bit.
Kidneys.
Kidneys. That's right. Her liver's fine. Her kidneys.
They gave her a camel hump of fluids.
They did. They injected IV fluids, which is
subcutaneous
fluids. Which is just, they give her a big, like, it's like a water balloon under her skin, behind her, above her shoulders.
Yeah.
It looks like a camel hump, dromedary. Yeah.
Sometimes it moves around and it'll like slide down to like the tum.
This one did not. I mean, not while I was there. Who knows? She was in the back of the car.
It did make its way out because she peed herself tonight. Like, yeah. she stood up and was soaking wet. And
she's like, I can't even drink that much ever. I was like, yeah. No, that's why they squeeze it into you. Yeah.
She's had a couple accidents like that before. And it thankfully is not like a regular thing. But a few times in the course of the chemo, she's had accidents where she's like asleep and just pees on herself and doesn't know.
We've had the hump thing with other dogs too, though. I think they did it with Voods once.
Oh, I think a lot of our dogs have had the hump.
Where they just do like a big, this looks like a kind of
it's a like a leader.
Squishy ball, squishy hump. Yeah, but it just like diffuses in, like it's quicker than drinking, better than drinking.
Can I tell you a you actually learned this too. We took this class together. If you have someone who's like severely dehydrated, you know, the ideal thing is that you give them an IV and run a bag of fluids to them. But Ingo and I did this class a few weeks ago on hostile environment training that included first aid. You know, like if someone's, you know, how to apply a tourniquet, and if someone's got like a gunshot wound, like, you know, if all you have is like t-shirts and, you know, basic first aid kit, like how do you treat it? The first aid was only a part of it. It was a great, great class for 3 days. And they were talking about, you know, if you have someone who's severely dehydrated, how do you hydrate them again if you don't know how to run an IV, which like none of us do. And so they talked about enema hydration.
I was trying to give her a look here because it's not a happy topic.
No, I mean, nothing in that class was. We did like active shooter drills.
Yeah. High kidnapping.
Oh, we did this thing. So this class is sort of like for journalists or like NGOs who are going to like
it's
war
specifically
zones.
Right, for journalists and NGO people.
If you're going to a war zone. And so we did this scenario. It was a 3 day class. And on the second day we were out at this farm and we're like in the barn and they have like the military come in to like check our passports. And they had these like amazing actors that were hired that were extremely convincing. And our like midday scenario is like, okay, like the terrorists have advanced on the Capitol. They're killing all the foreigners. Like you have to get out. And so they have us like all like run out of the building, like into a caravan with our drivers. They like drive us out in the middle of the field. Like people are shooting at us and they've got like people
booby
shooting
traps.
At us. Yeah. And then you're having to like run through the field and the fields are booby trapped. You got to check for tripwires. I got put in charge of checking for tripwires and I did a good job.
You were, I think, the only one who didn't trip the tripwire.
Yes. I
the
caught the tripwire.
Or the pressure plate or whatever, right? Yeah.
And, but they had like mortar fire, you know, where they're like literally like shooting, you know, blank mortars at us and like smoke. And we had to like, you know, get down. You like learn how to like cover your head and protect yourself from grenades. And people are like shooting at us through like gaps in the woods. And then we get back in the caravan eventually and get stopped by the terrorists who take everybody hostage. They pull you out of the car. Everybody gets blindfolded, like brought into a building. They're like interrogating you. You have to like
Reals. I mean,
for real, like screaming at you, like pushing guns.
They took people's phones and stuff, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
They actually took people's phones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was, and it's like, you know, it's not real, but it was very intense and it sure feels real because they're like screaming at you and like pointing guns at you and telling you that they're going to kill you.
And you are actually blindfolded. It's not like that's not fake.
You are blindfolded and they're pushing you around.
And it's after a long day of running around. I mean, you're actually physically a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was great. I learned so much.
You think it was great? I thought it sucked. I was angry.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't like not being able to fight back. This whole journalism stuff, it's tough.
It's definitely your story to tell on how that day went and not mine.
Yikes.
Ingo had a harder time with it than I did.
Yeah.
Let's say. anyway, so it was sort of a mix of like simulations like that and then like classroom stuff with like lectures. And there's like a little bit of self-defense, you know, probably 20% of it was first aid. And then, you know,
situational awareness.
Yeah, situational awareness, digital stuff. you know, how to respond in these scenarios. But there is a decent amount of first aid stuff. And yeah, they gave us the hydration enema, which is like, oh, you can like take a bag of water.
They didn't give it to us.
No.
Thank you very much.
They introduce us to the concept of the hydration enema, where you like squirt a bunch of stuff in
yes.
somebody's butt to hydrate them. If they're going to die, right?
Sure.
All kinds of dignity goes away if it's like you're going to die or you let somebody squirt some fluid into your butt.
A lot of dignity goes away.
Yeah. Yep. Subcutaneous. Actually, one girl in the class was like, must have been a vet tech. And she's like, with dogs, we like do subcutaneous stuff. Would you ever do that with a person? And the guy teaching this was like a former special ops combat medic. And he's like, no, you're not giving subcutaneous fluids to a person. No.
He was very good.
He was great.
Yeah. But also, yes, you're not. No, these aren't dogs, guys.
If you have any work trips that are going to send you to war zones, or if you're a journalist and you need K&R insurance, and you will know what that is, if you need it, GJS in Silver Spring is great.
Mm-hmm.
And your work will probably pay for it. We paid for this to do it ourselves, but your work will probably
pay for
it.
But we were the only two.
We were the only two. Everybody else was there was from... There are actually a few guys from... like CBS or NBC Miami,
yep.
who are getting ready to go to Haiti.
Yep.
Some NGO people, AP, AFP had a couple people there. Mostly
Reuters. It would have been like Reuters kind of.
Reuters,
people, yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's like 75% journalists and then, you know, some other people.
Yeah.
But if you need K&R insurance, like your rates are lower if you've gone through this class. So
you also feel better.
Yes.
But better.
I learned so much.
I mean, it gives you things to worry about, but it gives you things to do about the things you're worrying about. Just like how to freaking secure your hotel room door. Like it was just like some of this was very useful for everything.
For sure. And we did an active shooter drill, which is a thing that I feel like I spend a lot of my mental energy thinking about, you know, especially like being on a campus. And it was great. They've got like this whole kind of warehouse space that they've built out, you know, with like passageways and all kinds of different spaces. And they tell you you're going to do an active shooter drill and you're in like, you know, they set up like a little shop and you're looking at stuff and you're just waiting. And then, you know, they've got an active shooter like in the next space over and you've got to like escape through the space. And they've got like actual guns with blanks in them. And it's like super intense.
People are screaming.
Yeah. Like even that's right. Even though you know, like, this is a simulated thing, there was, like, a hostile mob simulation.
That was...
In that same space.
Another one that I didn't do so
well.
You
had a hard time with that one. Where you're kind of, you know, walking through these passageways and getting screamed at and grabbed. And, like, people are trying to pull you out of, you know, you're kind of with your little team. I think we had a team of three and you're, like, with your group and they're trying to pull...
Trying to separate
in the thing, they're grabbing you, right? They're grabbing onto your clothes, grabbing onto your arm, trying to pull you out. It was intense. There's actually a Comedy Central. Did we watch this together? There's a Comedy Central piece where one of the...
Jon Stewart? No.
I don't
one of
know
Jon Stewart's guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like a Daily Show thing. And he was getting ready to go to the RNC, the Republican National Convention.
Yes.
And he went and trained with these guys. They've got it on
their website.
It
was the same room, right?
It was the same room. And they had all their actors dress up like as MAGA guys. It's like a black correspondent for The Daily Show who's going to go to like...
MAGA convention.
Yeah, to the GOP convention. And it's a really funny piece. But it shows like some of the training that we did and some of the techniques. And then he ends up at the GOP convention running away it's like him and like two other non-white reporters. And they're like, we're going to die. And he's like, no, I'm doing the tactical breathing. Like, I'm okay. And they all get there and like, oh, we're going to die. They all run away. Anyway, GJS security, like go check them out.
There you go. This is a banner podcast. Did I mention this? We should put this on the title. Banner
the title is going to be podcast. Banner Podcast for sure.
Almost no rules.
I know. Real off topic. Because we have not talked about what actually happened with Venkat the oncologist, which is how we started.
Oh, she got an injection of stuff that she's going to get again in 3 weeks.
New chemo drug
and a hump of subcutaneous saline liquid.
Yep. The new chemo, so the old chemo wasn't working. and her lymph nodes got big. And then we tried a different drug and that didn't work. So the new chemo is, we hope, will work. It is riskier. You know, there were, they kind of gave us two options. One has a risk for GI issues and one has a risk for liver damage. But we know she's kind of prone to the GI issues. So we decided, like, let's not do the one that's going to cause a thing that we know she already is kind of prone to.
Yeah.
So we opted for the one that has more liver risks. And so she came home with some pills to help manage that. And also some Flagyl because she's been having some issues, GI issues. Before she started the new drug.
She did it on her own. Yay.
But overall, she's doing okay. She seems happy and good. And
she's still her vink self, yeah.
Yeah. The peeing on herself is not great.
She gets hungry and thirsty with the prednisone. I've had prednisone for allergies and stuff, and it's like I had a red face, and I was really hungry and thirsty.
Yeah.
And peed more because of the thirst.
Because you're drinking a lot more, yeah.
But also hungry. I could also drink like a fish, and I didn't get as drunk.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I guess. I mean, it's not a good incentive.
No, I mean,
I'm
not
already
a reason
thirsty.
To take prednisone.
And I'm not. So I don't know. I would not recommend, actually. It was physically kind of bleh.
Yeah, you're never, I mean, you've had to do that a couple of times, and you're never happy when you have to.
Nah.
One other dog update. I said Brody was fine, but actually Brody, we took him into the vet for, you know, just to get his Librela shot. And for some reason, they scheduled it as like a full on vet visit as opposed to just like somebody jab him with a shot. And so when the veterinarian came in, I was like, listen, we just need the Librela shot. And she's like, okay. She's like, but he's due for blood work, so why don't we do it? And I was like, great. And he came back anemic. And the vet was like, you know, he's tested positive for Ehrlichia before, which is a tick-borne disease. But it's like Lyme disease where, like, if you've had it, you'll always test positive for it. And she's like, but if he's anemic, like, maybe he's actually got some of that going on from, like, before we got him because he's always tested positive. So he's actually on a month-long course of antibiotics and iron supplements now to help manage that. It's not like severe anemia, but it's like we should do something about it.
Sure. Let's load him up with iron, man.
But iron's one of those non-water soluble drugs, so you don't want to take too much.
You can't over iron because you can't pee it out, right?
That's right. You should not over iron. You can over iron where like you can't really over vitamin C because you just pee out the extra, but with iron
it's worse than just making you magnetic.
Yes. He's not magnetic as far as we can tell.
Just like cartoons at all. My science limited to cartoons mostly.
Yep. Okay, it's time for Taste of the Keys.
Yay.
We got from 2-time Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Gwen Filosa.
New puppy owner.
And new puppy owner. She has a new dog named Sergio.
She's only slightly excited.
She loves
about Sergio.
So
she does so much. It's so nice.
She's Key West Gwen on Twitter if you want to follow her. She's great. You can see lots of Sergio. She's also the digital editor for Keys Weekly. And she posts a picture of Canine Coral, who is a golden retriever for the Monroe County Sheriff. And post this story, a 55-year-old Homestead, Florida man. I'll just note here, Homestead is not in the Keys. Homestead is right when you get out of the Keys. You
it's
cross
Monroe County, I think, right? Or is it already
I think
Brevard.
It's Miami-Dade.
Miami-Dade.
Yeah. So you go over the causeway from like Key Largo into the mainland, and then you hit Florida City real quick, and then Homestead. So it's right there. You know, it's probably 20 miles to the Keys from.
But it's on the mainland.
It's definitely part of the mainland. It is not an island.
Chuh.
A 55-year-old Homestead, Florida man in possession of pills and cocaine was arrested Friday following a traffic stop in Key Largo. Jorge Labanino was charged with trafficking oxycodone, possession of cocaine, possession of a controlled substance, and driving with a suspended license. The sheriff's office stopped Labanino for failure to maintain a single lane on
suspicious
failure to maintain a single lane on US 1 Nilmar marker 102. Canine Coral alerted to the presence of drugs in the vehicle and 9.3 grams of cocaine, 20.8 grams of oxycodone, and 5.3 grams of alprazolam, which is Xanax, were subsequently found. And they posted this with a picture of Coral in front of four quite small bags
teeny
of pills.
Tiny.
This isn't like a 1 gallon Ziploc full of pills. It's like half.
It's like three.
It's like a third of a prescription bottle worth of pills.
Coral is being forced to be there too. You can tell Coral's not into it. Coral does not look like enthusiastic in the picture. Coral's like, get this over with. I'd like a snack, please.
Yeah.
He does not look. She does not. She does not look happy.
So there you go. That's Taste of the Keys. Right. What's the German word of the week?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it?
It is, apropos of nothing, it is wechselhaft.
Wechselhaft.
Yeah. Which means, changeable. Oh. But it comes from remembering watching the weather report as a kid, which in Germany, we used to watch like the news every day. The news was always on at like 8:15 at night, and I remember because you set your clock. They had a clock at the beginning of the news that ticked down the seconds to 8:15.
Oh,
so you could set your watch or your clock, so everyone would be on the same second.
That's very German.
It was good. Like you would know you're all on the same time because everyone's watching the news, setting their clock based on this clock.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool. It was before satellites and before GPS and before cell phones. Anyway, so Wechselhaft just means changeable, which I guess is variable. But I just remember they used to say that a lot about the weather. Like it's neither sunny nor cloudy nor rainy, but it could be anything. It's going to be changing during the day. It's going to be Wechselhaft.
Mm. Wechselhaft.
Yeah, which seems like a dodge. It always seems like a dodge to me. Like you could say that about every day. Always.
Yeah.
It's going to be Wechselhaft.
Yeah.
And you probably will be a third, right? It's going to be snowy or rainy or sunny.
Yeah.
Any day. So I thought it was a bit of a dodge, but Wechselhaft.
Wechselhaft.
Das Wetter wird, es ist Wechselhaft heute.
Yeah.
Which goes with the Übergangsjacke from last week.
When I was in high school German class, we learned a song and then the song went, the song was between pen pals. One was in Germany and one was in Jamaica. And they were writing letters to each other.
Was it Hello Mada? Hello Vada?
It's kind of like that. And so it went, Hallo Lutz, Tag wie geht's?
It is the
es
thing.
Es geht gut. Wie ist das Wetter? Ziemlich cool. Und in Jamaica, heiß und schwul.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that from like 1994.
It's like that camp song. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Heiß und schwül.
There you go. Schwül. Yeah.
That's how it always
humid.
Is
humid. Hot and humid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for Ingo Corner, where you say anything you want, and I won't tell you that it's boring.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't prepare adequately.
We've had a lot of rambling in this podcast.
I didn't prepare adequately for not being censored. As I usually am, squashed like a bug. My opinions are worthless. No, in all seriousness, R.I.P. Bob Wolk, who was a great friend to all of us, especially Hops.
Let me give the background on that for people who don't know.
Yeah.
So if you are a follower on Twitter, you may have seen Bob Wolk, who was a great supporter of the squad. Great supporter of the Golden Ratio Foundation, loved Tops. When we put the ramp in on the dock, he actually was like, I'm going to donate to the Golden Ratio Foundation to cover the cost
insisted.
Of the ramp.
Yeah.
Great friend of the squad. He was going to come to the Winter Park event for the book release and his doctor told him no. And he had surgery.
He's in Texas, so it would have been a flight.
Yes, it would have been a flight, and he needed a heart valve replacement. He had that surgery a month or so ago and had a very tough recovery, was doing not great, was sort of doing better, was moved to a rehab facility, and then in the last week really took a downturn, was in hospice for maybe a day or two, and he passed away, I think Monday or Tuesday. I mean, just a day or two ago, which is so sad, like, for those of us who have followed him. And I actually met him. In fact, if you look at his Twitter, so his Twitter handle is Bob Wolk, and I think the pinned picture is still me and him. I had gone to talk at the Texas Realtors Association conference. Bob was a realtor. So I went to not talk about dogs, to like talk about AI and like my regular work. And I gave my talk, and I'm like, after the talk, staying around answering questions for people. And there's always a line of people with questions. And I see in the line, I'm talking to somebody, and like two people back in the line is this person with a Case It Was Awesome shirt on, like one of our shirts. In Texas, you can wear a Case It Was Awesome shirt and no one will look at you sideways.
Right.
But it's like one of the shirts from like our Redbubble shop. And I was like, I'm sorry, person I'm talking to. I must go speak to this guy in the Case It Was Awesome shirt.
Yeah.
And that was Bob. And I mean, he like came to this like very professional networking event, knowing that I was going to be there with this Case It Was Awesome shirt, and I didn't know it. So there's a selfie of us that he took. And
he had a big heart. Yep.
Super supportive. And it's been interesting. Like, we posted about this to the Patreons and the Twitter subscribers, and people sharing stories of like, yeah, you know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, like he would check in on me every week. He was just like a generous and wonderful guy. And, really wanted to come and see everybody when we did the book event in Orlando. And I was talking to him the day before his surgery, and he was so excited that he was finally going to get his energy back. And, you know, he was a big character, and the world is a worse place without him in it.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be remembered. And I mean, if they're angel dogs, he's probably visiting them.
Yeah. He was a kind and generous guy, and it is too bad that we don't have him.
Yep. There's my ramblings.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, thanks, Bob, for being great. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us. And as always, Slava Ukraini, and don't bet anyone unless they ask you to.
It's a banner podcast.
That's going to be the name.
Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.